Hello and welcome back to the One Where I Met Your Mother, a podcast about Friends and How I Met Your Mother. I'm David.
I'm Natalie.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay. We're in vacation mode.
Right now. We're home
as we're recording this.
Yeah, we're home right now in between mini trips.
Yeah,
we're heading out tomorrow to celebrate our
7-year anniversary.
7-year anniversary of being married. Feeling that itch. Right?
Yeah.
In fact, I just got texted a reminder about our dinner reservation.
Ooh.
So that'll be fun. That's what we're up to.
Yeah.
Having been married 7 years, that's a big deal.
It's a big deal. Yeah. We went to Seattle last week.
And then we're going to wine country, doing a very, like, we are like the boring.
We go to Seattle, we go to wine country, and then Joshua Tree is
right.
Is fun.
But I just, it's come up twice on the show so far, the people that Marshall and Lily don't want to be, the wine tasting people, the bed and breakfast people, that's what we are.
Yeah.
But I love it.
We're pretty pathetic. But no, it is fun, cool. I will say, to, cool. No one thinks we're cool. It is fun to, instead of like one long enduring vacation, to kind of like have little snacks.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't the plan. We had a big vacation
planned.
Then COVID didn't go away. So
COVID didn't go away. Still here.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, I'm trying to see the, you know, silver lining. I think it's fun to have little treats.
Speaking of little treats, we watched two episodes of TV.
One, masterful.
We watched Friends and How I Met Your Mother, season 1, episode 15, respectively known as the one with the stoned guy and game night.
I thought you were going to say, speaking of little treats, and then talk about an amuse-bouche, which we'll get into.
I should have, yes.
Yeah, that's obvious. I gave you more credit than you deserve.
You had a big reaction because you made the connection that I didn't. Yes, yeah. We should have talked about
amuse-bouche.
Amuse-bouches? Is that the plural?
I don't think it's pluralized in that way.
Yeah, I don't know my what little French I Duolingoed before we went to Paris in October 2019 has mostly left me.
Yeah.
So, okay, I'm sure they just heard you snapping. They heard you snapping to get our dog to stop licking her wounds. He's got a hurt foot. So. Anyway, that's not the point. The point is Friends and How I Met Your Mother, season 1, episode 15. Let's start with season 1, episode 15 of Friends, the one with the stoned guy. So we start at Central Perk, and once again, I had this as just like running jokes and motifs. Rachel's bad at her job. You know, she puts a mini pencil in Monica's like hot cider or whatever she's drinking instead of the cinnamon stick. She puts the cinnamon stick behind her ear. But it ends up being like, Rachel being bad at her job becomes like a plot point in this episode.
Yeah.
We'll get to that later. There's a lot of like, this is like a job focused episode for Rachel, but also much more so for Monica and Chandler.
Yeah.
It's very job focused. Chandler, we meet him back at his cubicle. The Blue Jays hat is still there, I can't remember if we talked about this on the podcast or not, but a listener said that it's probably because the actor Matthew Perry himself is Canadian, and maybe that's why there's a Blue Jays hat. Did we talk about that?
Is that hockey?
No, that's baseball, but it's Toronto.
Oh, okay.
But there's also a hockey stick in the apartment.
He has hockey sticks in the apartment.
Yeah, so he's I guess just a big old Canadian.
Big old sporto.
Yeah, but Chandler's not Canadian, I don't think.
No, I don't think so.
So he gets offered a promotion, which leads to him quitting his job. There's multiple jokes about the acronym WENUS.
Have you heard of WENUS?
No, before? But it's funny.
Okay, it is funny.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's so childish, but I laughed every time they said WENUS.
It's like a processing acronym, and he says exactly what it is.
I wish I'd written it down. It's Weekly Estimated Network Usage something.
Spreadsheet,
maybe? Yeah. That's probably spreadsheet.
Yeah.
So he quits, and Phoebe being Phoebe is like, oh, a friend of mine is looking for a head chef.
Yeah.
And Monica's like, I'm a chef. I would love
right
that
here.
Job. So it becomes the she's going to audition, you know, by having the restaurateur, the future restaurateur, over for dinner.
Sample some of her.
Yeah.
Menu yeah. options.
Yeah. Before that, though, Chandler. Okay. Chandler goes, like, spends all day at, like, a job aptitude. I don't know if that's a real thing. It's like, he goes to see, like, a
career counselor?
I guess, yeah. And he asks, did you think this is weird? He asks Rachel, can you see my nipples through this shirt? And which I was kind of like, too soon. Like,
oh,
I just saw her nipples like 2 weeks ago.
I forgot about that. And she says, I don't, but I'm sure they're there
that's
to
funny.
Reassure
yeah.
him. Yeah.
I laughed. Monica's going to have the guy over. She's hired a waitress from the restaurant yeah. that she works at.
Meg or something?
Yeah, I already forgot.
Yeah.
Mindy?
Oh, maybe Mindy.
But you were right. It starts with an M, but yeah. I feel like it was two syllables. Mandy?
Maybe Mindy.
Maybe Mindy. She hires her, but she also wants Phoebe to be there to make yummy noises.
Yeah.
Which led to, I don't know if I'm stealing one of the funniest moments.
Yes.
Oh, okay, so I won't say it.
No, that's okay. We can talk. I mean, we can talk around.
Because Rachel asks,
what are you going to make?
What are you going to make? And Phoebe says, yummy noises.
Yeah, that was on there.
Okay, but in non-job related news, we've got a Ross dating episode.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, Ross mm-hmm. has become like, this episode had a lot of, reminded me of Seinfeld in a number of ways.
Yes.
And didn't stack up to Seinfeld, but Ross is like right now the storyline, you know how like Jerry was like always dating someone new every week.
Yeah.
Ross is like that, except yeah. he sucks at it.
Yes.
So here he's dating, Melora Hardin.
Yep.
Jan from The Office.
Yep.
And you know, she's other things too. She was also on Transparent. She was
That's right.
What's her name's lesbian lover?
That's right. Yeah, during a little peek behind the curtain during this rewatch, I broke one of our rules and I screamed out, "Hey, that's Jan from The Office!" Even yeah. though I'm supposed to keep
and
it,
and I was like, "Save it for the show."
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I got reprimanded like a child.
Yeah, exactly.
Hung my head in shame.
So first off, I don't know. How do you feel about Ross dating a coworker? I feel in general like that's,
well, she's in a different department.
Okay, all right.
So I mean, I think that's pretty common to date a coworker. It's not like an underling, you know. There's right. not like a power dynamic or anything like that. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. She's a bug girl.
Yeah,
she's in charge of the insect at the museum.
I just feel like I would consider coworkers just like
off limits.
She's not worth it.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think it's, in some cases I think it's worth
all right.
it.
All right. I'm against it. We've had this conversation before that I think that like, now that dating apps exist, that should be the only place where dating happens, and every other part of the world should be like dating free. Like you should, if you go to the bar, you're not going to the bar to meet people. You're going to the bar to have fun. At the bar, you meet people on the app. So I want a very like strictly sure. regimented, separated yeah. world.
You don't want any spontaneity in life.
Right. Exactly.
Anywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. It takes the pressure off of everyone.
Yeah.
But the upshot of this, the first date goes terribly because I felt vindicated.
Mm-hmm. You hate Marcel.
I hate Marcel. I hate yeah. monkeys in general, yeah. especially Marcel. And Marcel is terrible to Melora Hardin. I've already forgotten the character's name.
Celia.
Celia. All right. He's like pulling her hair, and
I felt bad for the monkey actor.
Yeah, so, yeah. We shouldn't
like,
be doing
the monkey is like being like jostled around, and I know this is like a you know, a trained animal, I'm sure no harm came to it. I just feel like...
And I feel like, I mean, most of these animals that are trained probably...
It's not okay.
Yeah.
I'm against any animal. I would... That's the only time I would appreciate CGI. I hate CGI in general because it looks like fake and I don't fall for it.
Yeah.
But... If there's a living being, you know, at risk, then let's just CGI it.
Yeah, I like when, I mean, I normally think that PETA is kind of like a like a lunatic fringe organization. And but they have a history of like praising movies like the newer Planet of the Apes movies that don't use any real apes. Right. I want to say, do you remember... It's so weird when movies like exist and then everyone just forgets about them. But do you remember a few years ago there was a new Tarzan with Alexander Skarsgård and Margot Robbie played Jane.
Okay.
And like Christoph Waltz was the bad guy and Samuel Jackson was in it. It was directed by David Yates, who made like the last four Harry Potter movies.
Yeah.
And like, it was a huge, like big budget movie. I went and I saw it like at a matinee in the middle of the day alone. I went and saw it.
I don't remember that, but
it's fine. But it's like, anyway, it's just weird when movies like clearly that was like a big budget movie that everyone just like
kind of forgot about
and just like universally decided like, we're never talking about this movie again.
Yeah.
This movie doesn't exist.
Yeah.
But anyway, that was another one that's like full of animals, but there's no real animals in the movie at all. If I recall correctly. But the, okay. So, Rachel, back to the, Monica's preparing the, amuse-bouches, which you and I always laugh at the word amuse-bouche, amuse-bouche, the phrase amuse-bouche, because of a line from Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, when the character says, like, if you thought that was, you know, compared to what's coming, that was just an amuse-bouche, and there's like a
guy in like, the background, like, yes.
And then one guy goes,
what's an amuse-bouche? And it's like a hushed, like, crowd.
Yeah.
So yeah, anytime...
movies I saw alone in the theater.
Anytime we're confronted with like small appetizers or hors d'oeuvres, I always say, what's an amuse-bouche?
Yeah. Off topic, but speaking of me going to movies alone in the theater, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs was the last movie that I saw at the Beverly Center. Do you remember there used to be a multiplex in the Beverly Center?
Yeah.
Which is like, when the Beverly Center multiplex opened, I've read up about this. You lived in Southern California. I don't know if you remember. It was like a big deal because the idea of there being like 13 screens in one movie theater was like unheard of at the time. But what's funny about that now, I don't know if you remember the Beverly Center multiplex. They're all like tiny screens. Mm-hmm. That's why there were so many. And it's like on the seventh floor of a mall or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, that was the last movie I saw there. And it since closed. The Beverly Center seems to be eternally under construction. I'm not sure if it's still open or it's just always under construction.
I think it's still open.
Okay.
I don't know. I could be wrong.
Yeah. That's probably the last time I've been to the Beverly Center at all was to see Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. So it would have been like 2009.
I don't remember ever going to that theater, but I'm sure I have.
Yeah. I don't think you and I ever went together because it closed so early in our...
When I was little, I lived for that escalator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know, in X-Men comic books, the introduction of the character Jubilee, if you know who that X-Men, X-Woman is, takes place at the Beverly Center.
Oh, okay.
Well, all right.
Quite a digression.
Yeah, but anyway, it moves booshes. So here's, so like, Rachel's mad that Monica is hiring another waitress.
Yeah.
Eventually the waitress, like...
Flakes,
and then Rachel gets hired, and then I feel like that I was expecting a payoff to, like, I was expecting something like farcical to happen with Rachel, like Monica having to save Rachel from being bad. It didn't go that way, but I'm not really complaining because it went a different way. I'm realizing there's a lot of story in this episode.
Yeah.
Because back to Ross and Celia. I guess. First off, they're like making out, and it's the song that's playing is "Girl, You'll Be a Woman Soon."
Yes,
which is weird. Like,
this and is it Urge Overkill?
No, this is it's the original, it's the Neil original Diamond version. Yeah. But still, like, Pulp Fiction is less than a year old,
right?
And was like a cultural phenomenon. And yeah. I feel like that the Urge Overkill version of that song, it seemed weird to use that song so soon.
I thought so too. That's Pulp why Fiction. I thought it could have been Urge Overkill.
I looked it up.
Okay.
Yeah. Because okay. they're very similar versions.
They are, yeah.
But it's Urge Overkill in Pulp Fiction.
Yes, I know that. That's why I thought.
Right, okay, yeah. It's and this was the Neil Diamond one. But then also speaking of, like, recent-ish things, the 2 season 4 episodes of Seinfeld, The Cheever mm-hmm. Letters and The Junior Mint.
Mm-hmm.
The Cheever Letters is the one where Jerry has the girlfriend who wants him to talk dirty
yes,
to her, and with, he
and Volva being the punchline.
That's 2 separate episodes. The Junior Mint is the one with Dolores, who he calls Mulva, because like he couldn't remember her name, but he knew it rhymed right, with the part of right. the female anatomy.
That's
the Cheever, so those are both season 4. So that's they're like 2, 2.5 years old. It feels. I don't know. I mean, again, like Pulp Fiction, Seinfeld was another cultural phenomenon by this point. And I mean, even I remember when The Junior Mint aired and the whole Mulva Dolores thing. Like, again, that was a big deal.
Right.
It seems so weird to like have Vulva as a punchline
right.
on NBC.
Yeah.
But I guess 2.5 years or 2 years is a long time. I don't know.
With the dirty talk storyline, I was reminded of another sitcom in the scene. Well, you haven't discussed it yet, but the scene where Joey is talking Ross into like practicing the dirty talk in their apartment.
Yep.
And Chandler overhears this like kind of like risque conversation, and it's very Three's Company-esque.
Oh yeah,
isn't it?
Like, I didn't even think about
kind
that,
of like
yeah.
the gay panic of like,
of course.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
So that's also yeah a motif of the show. But yeah, I was reminded very much of Three's Company, of like the just misunderstanding of like a sexual dynamic between men. Right.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, more gay panic. It wouldn't be Friends without it.
Yeah.
The thing that stuck out to me about that scene is that like Joey and Ross go through like multiple bagels, like eating
yeah.
bagels.
Yeah.
Like it starts with them like cream cheesing up some bagels, and then like Joey's eating one while Ross is talking dirty, and then like after he's done,
they're
the
both
scene
eating.
Moves back to the little like kitchen, and like Joey starts preparing another bagel.
Yeah.
Which I guess is believable. Joey seems like a big eater.
Carb loading. Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess that's supposed to be a very New York touch.
Yeah.
They just get, yeah. But I guess we eat bagels here in Los Angeles too. Chandler's storyline that he gets, like, he went from being a temp to, now his boss is like begging him to accept a big, huge promotion with a new mm-hmm. office or whatever. This feels like, I feel like in my mind, comedy writers are people who don't actually have any idea of what office work is like.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it didn't feel like, it seems so fake, like such a made up, like you're going to
really
go from
does.
Being a temp to someone begging you to take a job to getting like your own huge office and assistant. Like it all just seems,
well, he's the only one who can figure out the weenus.
Yeah, he does care about the weenus. And yeah, weenus made me laugh.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we still haven't had enough votes to settle whether or not Cameron Manheim is a big guest star.
Yeah.
On How I Met Your Mother, but John Lovitz is clearly the first like big guest star in Friends, because when he shows up, the audience, there's like
cheers.
There's like a
applause.
Pause
yeah.
because they have to wait for the audience
yeah.
to stop. And I will say, as much as I thought the storyline was dumb, John Lovitz earned the applause. He
oh,
is
yeah.
so
he was,
funny.
He was really funny. Now, would this be his SNL run? Is that why he was so big at the time?
Let's find out, because this was, I feel like he would have been off SNL by this time. I couldn't find John Lovitz in the cast of this episode because I realized I had the IMDb for the How I Met Your Mother episode
called Stone Guy. So yes, he was the stone guy in question.
Yeah, which was like, so these characters are such fucking like narcs. Like even Phoebe, who you'd think is like the cool one, she's like, he sparked a doobie in the cab, and they're all like
yeah,
they're all scandalized by the idea that this guy's high. Like, what a bunch of losers, right?
Yeah, they're pretty so square. They are square.
I couldn't.
And I think Rachel says like, I'm with you, Cheech, or like just like dumb like weed references.
Yeah,
and also, I mean, John Lovitz was great in this episode. He was very funny.
So funny.
But people who are high don't behave like he did. Like he was just totally exaggerated, just like a little child, like rummaging through things. Like if you're high, you're just like a little bit giggly, or you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't turn into like a maniac child.
I cannot.
It's all right. Let's move on.
Find when his SNL run ended. Why can't I find this?
Okay.
Hold on.
SNL, John Lovitz. Yeah,
you'll probably have
this
better.
Is good podcasting.
Absolutely. Yeah. Looking things up on the podcast.
Yeah. Okay. 85 to 90. So,
okay. So he was already off it for 5 years at that point.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have multiple candidate, like when we get to my friend, funniest. Like funniest moments stuff, it's just going to be stuff that he said.
Yeah.
So then, yeah, that's the resolution. Chandler takes the job. Ross blows it with the dirt. I guess he learns the dirty talk, but it doesn't turn into sex. So I feel like he failed.
Yeah. But he creates these like long narratives with villagers.
Yeah, they're villagers.
So and they're so exhausted at the end of it, then they just cuddle, which is kind of funny.
Yeah. 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 What did he call himself? The James Michener of dirty talk.
Yeah.
Monica doesn't take the job, which I feel like, I don't know, I feel like she fucked up.
Well, because they were like, yeah, you don't want to work for a guy like that, like a stoner, like a guy again, who would smoke a doobie.
Such dorks.
But I guess if he gets high and behaves that way, it's more about his behavior than...
But he wasn't being a dick, like... If you like, he loved the food. He probably would have hired her.
He was
her.
Rummaging through her kitchen, stealing gummy bears.
I don't know. To me, for your dream job, this is not a big.
I think he was rude. He was rude and dismissive.
Okay. We find out that Ross. Oh yeah, the whole Ross James Michener thing. Did you find it weird that Ross just like goes behind the counter at Central Perk?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, well, they act like they act like they own the place.
Yeah.
First of all. Well, I didn't know if that was like a little creamer sugar station.
If it were, I guess it's probably for blocking and camera reasons that he has to stand on that side of it.
Yeah,
but it just seemed weird. It seemed like he was behind the counter with Gunther, who makes an appearance in this episode.
Yeah. I didn't get the impression that he was like behind the scenes, which I wouldn't be too surprised at because they own the fucking place.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's going to stop? Rachel's like the world's worst waitress. So who's going to stop him?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the episode ends with a tag where Phoebe is massaging John Love again and intentionally hurt him because
she's now bad at her job also.
Yeah, I just don't know. These are the lamest people.
Yeah, they are very lame. Okay, should we go on to the funniest?
Let's go with funniest moments. Like I said, I can't pick just one thing that John Lovett said, but I think if I had to, it would be, cool, taco shells. That was funny. Macaroni and cheese. We have to make this.
Yes, which is very, like, stoner. I also liked his reading of... Hello, greeter girl.
Yeah, that's a very Lovitz-y.
And then also just like the repetition of tartlet.
Yeah.
This is losing all meaning because he says it so many times.
Yeah, yeah. John Lovitz, when he's on, man, we were just weirdly talking about The Critic last night. And it reminded one of my favorite The Critic jokes where he's like, he's talking about like famous actors like remaking movies, and he's like, what's next, Dr. Strange Lovitz? And he's like, oh, that's a good idea. And he gets on the phone and he goes, hello, Hollywood.
Yeah.
And then he says, Dr. Strange Lovitz, and this apology goes, no, I don't think he died. I love the critic.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but I have another one.
Please.
And it's Chandler screaming. So he's like in his like promotion job title.
Yeah.
So he says into the phone as he's screaming at someone, I'm looking at the weenus and I'm not happy about it. And I thought that was really funny.
Yeah. Why are we are such children that we just keep laughing at the word weenus.
It is funny.
It's funny. Yeah.
They know it's funny. It is funny. I also liked when Phoebe gets a tour of his new office and she said, so much bigger than a cubicle.
Yeah.
This is a cube, which is cute.
Yeah. all right. Should we move on to friends, but make it fashion?
Yes.
I'm going to pick, there's a lot to choose from this episode. A lot of people looked great, but I think in the,
it doesn't have to be your favorite. It's just observations.
I know that, but I like to pick my favorite.
Okay.
I could do it my way.
Okay. Look, there's one way to do it and it's my way.
In the scene where, they're discussing the guy coming over and Phoebe's supposed to make yummy noises or whatever, Phoebe's wearing like this huge sweater that I thought was very cool looking. It looked like it's probably, you have to wear an undershirt under it because it feels like it's probably scratchy, that kind of material. Yeah. Yeah. You know, but it had like, it was like Christmas sweater style in that it had like different rows of like things, but they were all like, no, like rows of different design, like different patterns,
okay.
But they were all like muted. Like it was,
okay. I didn't notice that.
Like someone had drained the color from it.
But I didn't. So there were a lot of like vest dresses.
Always vests and vests and turtlenecks on this show.
Yes. And oversized sweaters.
Yeah.
But I've also noticed that there's like often like thematic fashions, like in one scene Monica will be wearing something and then in the next scene Rachel will be wearing something kind of similar. So I wonder if
I'll look for that.
Okay. And it could also just be like these are the styles of that time
or just what the costume designer was into that week.
Had that week or yeah. I also noticed, and this was more of an observation, in one scene Ross had a Nike hoodie, which I thought was strange because they don't usually have like branded clothes.
Yeah, he had it was a Nike tennis.
Yeah.
Which is, we're watching this the day that some big tennis thing is happening. I don't care about tennis. I don't care about tennis so much that I have a hard time believing that people do, but I guess people care about tennis.
Yeah.
But my Twitter feed's been very tennis forward today.
But
I know a lot of sports people.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So running jokes and motifs. We mentioned Rachel being bad at her job. We mentioned gay panic. Mm-hmm. I mentioned that Gunther is in the background. I also, I kind of want to save this for similarities and differences, but the idea of Chandler's job being sort of nonspecific.
Mm-hmm, like processing and yeah.
Yeah.
Also Chandler being a prankster. So I guess he's even a prankster at work. There's like rubber chickens and like whoopee cushions. Like it's just,
yeah, I wouldn't care for him. I don't know. Yeah, think as a coworker.
You don't like a prankster.
Yeah.
But yeah. Also like references to other sitcoms, songs that we all know and love sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Should we move on then to How I Met Your Mother, Season 1, Episode 15, Game Night?
Yes.
What happened?
So in game night, so they kind of start out, you know, planning this game night, and Marshall hosts it because he loves games.
He's too good at them.
He's good at them, and he will end up creating Marsh Gammon.
Yeah,
right?
Is that that's what he calls it, Marsh Gammon. And the only part of it has nothing to do with backgammon. He just liked the name, and he doesn't like anything else about backgammon.
It's like a combination between Candyland, Truth or Dare, like a drinking game, Twister, maybe. Like there's
Twister
all good.
Board, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. But yes. Anyway, so in this episode, they're at game night, and Lily uncovers a video of Barney. And it kind of touches on his embarrassing past. But in order for him to tell the story of this vulnerable past, everyone else has to reveal something embarrassing about their own past. So what's on the video is, I mean, what the whole episode is about, basically. And it's Barney, is it 8 years ago?
1998, which is 8 years ago.
Yeah,
the show's.
So he's kind of like a smelly hippie granola type guy, and he works at a coffee shop with this woman named Shannon.
The Java Joint. I don't know if he's
the Java Joint. Yeah, that's very funny. He and I think her name is Shannon or Sharon.
Yeah, Shannon.
Shannon. So they're, you know, smelly hippies together and decide to join the Peace Corps.
Smelly hippies do.
To go to Nicaragua.
That's, yeah, it was funny every time they pronounced it Nicaragua.
Yeah. She ends up leaving him for like a douchey suit.
Yeah.
And it, you know, breaks Barney's heart. Barney plays the piano and sings her a song about how much he loves her. Mm-hmm. And that's the video in question.
Yeah.
So they all see it. And of course he's like mortified. So yeah, in this game that, that Marshall has created, it's, he almost creates it to also get more information about Victoria, and they all kind of want Ted to tell Victoria about his kind of obsession with Robin.
Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of like meddling in Ted's life, in everyone's life, really. So the embarrassing stories that we learn about were, so Marshall is known as Funny Butt because he visits Lily like several years back when she taught kindergarten.
Well, she still does.
She still does.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe this was a few years ago.
Yeah.
And he uses a little tiny bathroom and a kid walks in on him and then he falls down in front of a bunch of kids with his pants down. They all see his butt.
Yeah. Would Marshall be like on some sort of registry for being pantsless in front of children?
Yeah. Yeah, probably. Robin's kind of like half-assed story was about slipping on horse poop and that we moved on from there. Victoria's story was like a sex romp at
we don't know, which I like that sort of meta joke of Bob Saget as like,
we can't discuss that.
Future Ted. Yeah. Like, now listen, kids, I tell you a lot of inappropriate stories, but I'm not telling you this one.
Lily's story is, calling Marshall's mom to thank her for the cookies that she sent.
Which have mayonnaise in them.
Which have mayonnaise in them.
Which is such a great, like, Midwestern joke.
Yeah.
And a callback to when she went home for Thanksgiving, wasn't it, like,
they had mayonnaise in everything.
It was like a big salad where every other layer was just mayonnaise.
Yes. And then Marshall walks in and they have floor sex on her mom, his mom's Afghan. She's on the phone the whole time, hearing the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then let's see. Okay. Ted says, well, Ted's story is obviously saying, I love you. On his first date with Robin.
Well, first he like hints at a story that was really gross sounding about like how he got an infected testicle from a sharp toenail while playing Ultimate Frisbee.
Yeah. I've like, skimmed over that.
Yeah.
And then he reveals that he barfed on Robin's welcome mat in front of her apartment.
Because, but the, no one, like, Robin didn't know that he came back that night.
Right.
So that was the big thing, not just that he barfed, but that he like attempted to go back and like kiss her again, but he threw up before she answered the door.
Yes. So yeah, we also learn that very night where they, so after the game, they kind of continue the game at McLaren's.
Yeah.
And then we learn that Barney just the same night,
because he stormed out of game night and then came
he stormed out of game night. And while what he was doing was he went to Shannon's apartment. I guess she still lives there. Yeah, I guess that's realistic. We've lived here a long time, but she still lives there. And he shows her what he looks like now, all suited up and kind of douchey. And they end up having sex.
Yeah.
He finds out that she has a child and he kind of, it seems like he's getting kind of like vulnerable about how different their lives turned out and how he might be kind of like a sad and lonely guy. But then he realizes like, no, like I couldn't be happier. I wear nice clothes. I have a good job. I have lots of money and I bang girls every night of the week.
Yeah. I feel like, I mean, I saw that like reveal, like my life is awesome coming from the moment he was like, it made me think or whatever.
Yeah. But that's all part of like him talking a big game. But then we kind of see him again after that whole thing. He's kind of a little bit sad alone at the bar drinking. So I think the events of the night like definitely did hit him.
I don't know. I feel like this was, in a way, this episode serves as like Barney is like becoming an origin story twice over. You get the flashbacks of him becoming the Barney that we know, but I also feel like this revelation solidifies the character in a way. Like, I know I keep hammering this point, if you listen every week, and now you have to listen to me say this every week, that it's odd to me watching this first season and seeing how often Barney strikes out, because like in my memory, he actually is, like, he's a creep, but he actually is a successful like ladies man, a successful cocksman, as they say. And I feel like this episode kind of solidified like, okay, from this point forward, Barney's not going to be like the pathetic, like trying to get laid
guy. He's actually succeeding in it. So his like douchebag persona is definitely, I guess, created from this guy, Greg, who, you know, he judges, like when he was a, you know, coffee house hippie.
Yeah.
Then he kind of formulates his whole persona around this like caricature of like a suited up douchebag.
Yeah. Yeah. This is
who steals his girlfriend.
Yeah. And Barney's whole reason for being is because he got his heart broken, which is like both sympathetic but also like
you turn into what bad. You've turned into a shallow monster that you never, you know, you never wanted to be.
So a couple things, I don't know, did you have more, because I have some more observations that I just wanted to sprinkle in here.
Robin is poorly behaved, like to Victoria.
I have that on here. Yeah. She's so mean.
She like calls her prude and a slut.
And slut, which is not a word I like.
It's not a word I like either, but just very, very poorly behaved. Barney's game is absurd.
Marshall's game
is absurd.
But I love that Marshall's game is absurd, because it's like overly complicated and makes sense to him, which is kind of, again, I feel like game night, and I'm realizing, is not, it's not one of the great How I Met Your Mother episodes, but it is kind of a defining one, because it feels like the show, much like what was the and I forget the name of the New Year's Eve episode, which was so great. You remember that one there in the limo? Kind of like that, but not as good. It feels like the show like firing on all cylinders. You've got
the flashbacks,
because you've got it's kind of like a meta commentary that the Marshall comes up with this complex game, but also the writers have come up with a complex game to deliver all of these stories, that it's not just Barney's story, it's that Barney concocts like you only get X percentage of the story for every embarrassing story you tell me.
Right.
So it like jumps forward and backward in time. It's very clever and fun.
And I forgot to mention like the Barney as we know, the creation story of the Barney that we know.
Yeah.
And it was a very funny scene of him, you know, like putting on a suit, cutting off the hair.
Yeah, in like a white backdrop, like the Matrix. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's kind of like revealed.
Yeah.
That was a fun scene.
Yeah, and which starts with the origin of the phrase suit up, that it's on like a flyer for one of those like cheapo like free suits for $100 places.
Yeah.
Okay, couple things I noticed. Did you notice in the very first like montage we get of Marshall like winning all of those games? Mm-hmm. Did you notice the like snack mix they had?
No.
It was like they'd taken a bag of tortilla chips and a bag of Cheetos and poured them into a bowl together. It was chips and Cheetos together.
Oh, props to the prop. I would eat that.
You would eat that? Okay. Yeah. A very funny moment, not quite my funniest moment, but there's a Barney has a very funny line where he pretends to call the leg warehouse.
That's mine. That's mine too.
But okay, I won't say what the line is, but what's funny, what I loved about it, little acting choice by Jason Segel, is that Marshall laughs at what Barney says, but like stifles his laugh as if Barney's actually on the phone with someone.
Right.
I like that choice a lot.
Yeah.
It's funny to me that Barney's drinking Red Bull at game night. I don't know why he would be drinking Red Bull. Okay. You mentioned Robin being super mean.
Yeah.
Another thing, again, not my funniest moment, but a very funny thing in terms of physical props to the wardrobe department, or maybe it is the props, I don't know who does this, but the oversized hiking like backpack that Barney has in the flashbacks is just funny. Like,
he also has like socks and sandals.
Yeah. But yeah, the fact that he has to keep putting on and taking off the backpack and then walking with the whole backpack because it's so big and like swaying as he walks.
Yeah.
It was just comical.
Just like along the like busy New York street.
And then we ended with a My Morning Jacket song off the record, which is second week in a row. Or I guess 2 weeks ago was the Pavement one, but second time the show has ended with a song by a band that is like considered cool, but I've never really been into.
I never liked My Morning Jacket.
I don't dislike them. I think I have a CD if I listen to CDs. And I actually saw Jim James, the front man. I saw him. It was, I told you this story, but for listeners, I went to a concert that was billed as like Bright Eyes, Jim James, and M Ward.
Right.
But it wasn't, it wasn't like opener, second opener, like headliner. It was just like Connor Oberst, M. Ward, and Jim James, like an evening with them. Like they would like take turns playing songs, play on each other's songs. Oh, like it was fun. It was a super cool night. And I didn't even really know M. Ward. That was kind of like my introduction to M. Ward, whom I now really like because I'm a boring, like predictable white hipster, I guess.
Right.
Should we move on to the funniest moments?
Yeah.
Will you go first?
Well, mine is... I have two. One is in the beginning scene where we're learning that Marshall is so great at board games, or all games, and he screams out... Well, he like plays gin and he says gin and then he says poker.
Yeah. Okay. Gin, Yahtzee.
Yeah. And poker. You don't scream out poker. That was funny. And then the previously mentioned Barney calling the leg warehouse and asks, yes, Ted needs something to stand on.
Yeah. Cause Ted wants, Ted wants Barney to not say anything inappropriate to Victoria.
Oh, right.
But he hasn't told Victoria about how Robin came to be part of the friend group that they were like, anyway, so he says you need something to stand on.
I also don't buy that the group is so invested in Ted being honest with Victoria. Like it's just kind of,
I don't think the group is invested. I think Barney is invested in Ted embarrassing himself.
Yeah.
I think that's all it is. I don't think he's like, you need to come clean to Victoria. He's just like, I want to see you embarrass yourself. But then
what's up with Marshall's questions being about like Victoria's personal life and trying to kind of...
I think that was established that's something that Marshall and Lily have done to Ted's girlfriend.
Like meddle in
because they're like the...
They're protective. They're like the parents.
That's what he says. Yeah.
Okay, I get that. So this is not really a motif, but...
Wait, we haven't gone to... I haven't done my funniest moment.
Yeah, no. I'm not... Okay, go on.
No, I thought you were moving on to motifs, but... So funniest moment for me... Yeah, I did have the leg warehouse. My friend Ted needs something to stand on. Until we see Barney's song.
Oh, yes.
And, like, it's this lame ballad about, like, the something like a dove flying through the tempest of woe or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then there's, like, a time signature change, and he sings, "There's a thief in the palace, she's stolen all my love."
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That was my funniest moment. There's that a thief in the palace. She's stolen all my love.
Yeah.
What about How I Met Your Mother, but make it fashion?
So I just noted there were a lot of sparkle blouses, which I didn't really like. They weren't cute sparkle blouses. I didn't like Robin's sparkle V-neck or Lily's sparkle jacket.
Yeah.
And I also didn't like Victoria's sparkle blouse either.
It's all sparkly.
Yeah, and I don't like any of them.
Well, Marshall spends the entire episode in a sweater with a silhouette of a big dog on it.
Yes, I like that.
I thought that was very cool. Yeah. That was my make it fashion moment.
Yeah, I like that.
Running jokes and motifs, now you're allowed. Talk about running jokes and motifs.
It should have been in like the recap, but I was hoping, or observations about the episode as a whole, like when it's kind of revealed that we're going to learn something like humiliating or vulnerable about everyone, I was hoping it would be more like real. I don't know why I want like trauma histories of actors, but like
you mean
characters.
Characters.
Yeah, characters.
That'd be funny if it were actual. Yeah.
And then I was thinking about like obviously like we could compare it to Friends in the later portion of this, but like Phoebe's, you know, trauma history, right, and Monica's traumatic history, Ross's traumatic history, you know, they all kind of have this like family of origin vulnerability, which I kind of hoped would have come out.
Well, we've got a lot of How I Met Your Mother to go, and I'm telling you, we are going to meet everyone's parents. Well, we've met Marshall's parents more than once, but we're going to meet everyone's parents. They're often played by recognizable actors. Okay. In one case, played by two different actors, because the first big-name guest star declined to return to reprise the role.
So like an Aunt Viv situation.
Yeah, but I mean, that was... I think she was like essentially... Will Smith essentially like forced her off the show, which he has since apologized for. But this was this actor. We'll talk about it when it happens again, because this actor opted not to return, and Neil Patrick Harris like called him out on Twitter. It was like a big deal at the time. But I think the actor they get to replace this parent was a win for everyone. It's a trade up. For running jokes and motifs, obviously, we had another suit up, the origin of suit up.
Yep.
Ranjit comes back, always.
Yep.
There's a callback to Vomit Free Since 93 being a lie.
Yep.
Which
is also like a Seinfeld ripoff. We talked about it being a Seinfeld ripoff.
Yeah, we talked about that during the episode, which I'm forgetting the name of, but the one with Danica McKellar.
Yeah.
And then... Here's a tease. This is not by any means the last time that someone's embarrassing past will be represented in the form of a video, like a secret hidden video or videotape.
All right, All right.
I think it's fun for the listeners. Okay. You should do that on Friends.
Okay. Okay. listeners, do you think it's fun
tease things? Yes. Okay. Honestly, do email at the one where I met your mother at gmail.com. And
you're the podcaster. I'm...
No, we're both podcasters.
Okay. Let's see. What else? did you get like a Phoebe vibe from Barney in the coffee house?
I should have. He's yeah.
a coffee house musician.
Yeah. But like
he plays a keyboard.
Phoebe's like not a very convincing hippie because she like is weirded out by John Lovett's smoking weed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I should have definitely seen that.
I don't think she would be classified as a hippie. She's more of like a free spirit.
Right. Right.
You yeah. know, in her.
But yeah. You're right. Yeah. He's a coffee shop performer.
Yeah.
I should have noticed that. Do we have anything else? Or should we move on to similarities and differences between the two shows?
Yeah, we can move on.
Well, the biggest one for me, similarity-wise, is that both Chandler and Barney have nondescript jobs.
Mm-hmm. Businessmen.
Yeah, I mean, apparently you hate. I didn't realize you hated it when I teased things.
No,
we will learn more about Barney's job, like what kind of company he works for, but we don't ever really find out what it is he does. But we will learn more about the company.
Okay.
In the future. And we're also again. Now I'm all self-conscious.
It was more about when you were talking about like the actors and you know like little like insider information.
But isn't that the point of the premise of this podcast? Is that each of us has more expertise in one show than the other?
You're right. No. Okay, I'm in the wrong. You're
no,
in the
listener
right.
Should
I'm willing to when I'm wrong? I'm wrong.
Okay. All right. Well, then, listeners, save your emails. I was trying to remember if we were gonna get any weed jokes or references in this How I Met Your Mother. We didn't, but the show will eventually have a different attitude towards weed than Friends has.
Yeah.
Not entirely a great one, but a different one. Okay. All right, let's move on to playing favorites. Okay. Which episode did you like more?
Okay, let's do it on the count of three.
Okay.
One, two, three.
How I Met Your Mother. Yay! We both agreed. Yeah, this is a really good...
This was a good episode.
How I Met Your Mother episode. Better even than I remembered, I think.
It was really good.
Well, now we get to move on to my favorite part of the show, to introduce at least.
Mm-hmm.
How were we doing?
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we look at what was going on in the world in the days that these episodes premiered. So Friends season 1 episode 15, the one with the stoned guy, premiered on Thursday, February 16th, 1995, which was not a very eventful day, it seems. But rapper Denzel Curry was born on February 16th, 1995.
Okay.
Denzel Washington is also famous by this point. You think Denzel Curry is named Denzel, like, after Denzel Washington? Or is that a more common name that I'm not aware of?
I don't think it is, because I don't know of anyone.
No. I know of two Denzels, Washington and Curry. That's the entire list of people that I know of named Denzel. So Denzel Curry was born. Top five songs in the U.S. We've got TLC's Creep.
Mm, good one.
Madonna's Take a Bow.
Good one.
Boys to Men on Bended Knee, Real McCoy, Another Night. Anyway, the only song that says I actually like, I have to say.
It's a good one.
And Brandy, Baby. Do you know Baby by Brandy?
I'm sure I do.
Okay. Well, those are the top five songs in the U.S.
I was thinking of Baby, Baby, the Amy Grant.
Oh, Amy Grant, yeah. That's better than most of these songs, too. This is not my style of music, but I guess often the songs that are the top five in the nation aren't necessarily my style,
right?
But yeah, it says something that my favorite song of those top five is
Real McCoy.
Is the Real McCoy's Another Night. And then How I Met Your Mother season 1 episode 15, Game Night, premiered on Monday, February 27th, 2006. Again, not a super eventful day except for one major thing. Monday, February 27, 2006 is the day that Facebook became available to everyone.
Oh, it wasn't just a .edu.
It wasn't just certain, like, colleges.
Yeah, college.
It became, on that day, open to everyone.
Got it.
Which is funny, because at that point, like, February 2006, I was still very much using MySpace. I was like, yeah. until, I would say for most of 2007, I was using, 2006 to 2007, I was using MySpace a lot. Like I was, when everyone sort of gave up on MySpace and moved to Facebook, I intentionally like didn't really, like I have a Facebook account, but I don't use it that often. I especially didn't use it at the time because I was like so addicted to MySpace that I kind of was like, oh, this is a reason for me to step away. Cause right. I was like, constantly blogging about politics and like what I was listening to. And I was constantly rearranging my like top eight.
I was going to ask about that. That's, was there a way to, disable the top eight?
I don't know. I don't
Cause it caused so many like unnecessary conflicts. Really? Yeah.
I don't think I,
okay. I just have one friend who would always get like so offended when someone else like took them off their top eight or changed their position.
Oh, do I know this friend?
And he, no, no, you've heard of him a lot.
Oh, okay. But, that's very funny. No, I was very, very, I mean, I still read the news all day,
yeah.
but I'm less like vocal about it. I think
you don't respond to it in a public.
Yeah. But I was like forum. Daily blogging about the news and politics on my MySpace.
I'm sure you were insufferable to everyone around. No, I mean, I'm sure at the time it was welcome, you know, everyone was doing, you know, yeah. live journal and whatnot.
Yeah. But then I would also do, you could put like, you could like, they had the album art for like albums you could put at the bottom of your blog. Like while I was listening to this or right. I was writing this, I yeah. listened to Drive By Truckers or whatever I was yeah. very into in 2006.
Yeah.
Anyway. So that's how we were doing.
Okay.
Now let's move on to challenge accepted.
Mm-hmm.
In which we based only on the information of the next episode's titles.
Mm-hmm.
We predict what's going to happen in next week's episode. First, we must revisit our predictions
yeah.
from last week. I predicted that Phoebe would be dating a stoner.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't happen.
Which I guess you should have known because the last episode was about the person that Phoebe was dating. So no,
that was two episodes ago. Because yeah. remember, then she didn't have a date for right. Valentine's Day. She mentioned Roger.
But would they go to that pool again, you think?
I guess because it was last week,
yeah,
Phoebe wanting a date for Valentine's Day was a plot point, so I was like, okay, she's
okay. No, that makes sense.
She's in the market or something.
Yeah.
But I was wrong. Phoebe doesn't date a yes. stoner. We do meet the stoner through Phoebe, but yeah. they're definitely not
yeah.
not dating. So that doesn't count. And you were also wrong. You predicted that game night
Valentine's
would be a Valentine's Day episode, yeah. but skipped Valentine's Day. Entirely. February yeah. 27th, is aired. And you said that they would have a game night instead of going out on dates.
Yeah.
But instead, the game night like kind of was a date. It's funny, the previous episode, drum roll please, you predicted it would be about Ted introducing Victoria to the gang. If yeah. you'd just like been 1 week
yeah.
Behind, or I guess two previous episodes, drum roll please. Last week was zip zip zip. We're recording this like sort of shortly after. Anyway, so I guess we were both wrong, right?
Yes.
This is the part of the episode where you have to vamp.
Oh, okay.
Because I have to look up these titles.
Okay, I'm curious to know if listeners like or dislike any segment.
I would, my prediction, uh-huh. like my challenge accepted uh-huh. prediction, is the more embarrassing I can make be, it,
yeah,
the more the like listeners it. Like it.
Okay.
If I make a fool of myself, I think the listeners like it.
Okay. Yeah, I think the worst part is like me stumbling through the recap.
No, I think we're both, you and I are like not,
I'm bad at like outlining.
I don't think like it comes naturally to just reiterate here's what happened for either of us. So that's right. why I try to make it more about like, I try to make it more about like observations about the episode in the order they happen. So I no, kind of smart. Like,
yeah,
but I still think sometimes I'm pretty dry as well. Okay. This is not a help for me.
Okay.
For friends.
Okay.
Next week's episode is called The One with Two Parts, Part One, which is funny because there's no way this is the only two-parter they ever do on Friends. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of two-parters. Mm-hmm. But now I have to guess The One with Two Parts, Part One. So what would a season one episode, what would they have to do on Friends season one to justify...
Warrant
is the word. To warrant a two-parter. So it has to be some kind of event. Well, I guess the major storyline is still Ross and Rachel at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to guess that Ross and Rachel kiss.
Okay.
That's like going to be the like last moment, and then it's going to say to be continued.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm putting Ross and Rachel
kiss.
That's my prediction. Now time for you to make your prediction.
Okay.
About How I Met Your Mother, season one, episode 16.
How many episodes total are in both shows?
In the seasons or total episodes?
Total episodes in the first season.
Oh, in the first season. So it's 22 for How I Met Your Mother and 24 for Friends. So yeah, we said this, I think, in the first episode, but there will be a number of, in fact, it'll be 27 episodes of The One Where I Met Your Mother that are just Friends.
Okay.
Because the seasons are longer and there's a whole extra season. So at the end of the show, like, we'll be done with How I Met Your Mother.
We'll still talk about Friends and have the same discussion, but it'll just be Friends.
Yeah. So season one, episode 16 is called Cupcake. What do you think happens in Friends? Sorry, How I Met Your Mother, season one, episode 16, Cupcake.
Okay, well, we know Victoria is a baker.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say that Ted is going to try to give Victoria the pet name Cupcake, and it's going to bother her, and it's going to lead to their breakup.
Okay. Ted calls Victoria Cupcake.
She doesn't like it.
She doesn't like it. Okay. That's what I've put down. We'll see what happens next on Challenge Accepted.
Okay.
You were still way ahead on these predictions.
Okay.
Although we have more often than not, we're both wrong.
Yeah.
That's it for this week's episode of The One Where I Met Your Mother. You can email us, like I said, at theonewhereimetyourmother@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Davey Pretension. You can listen to my other podcast, Battleship Pretension. You can also find episodes and comment on... you can find episodes of The One Where I Met Your Mother at battleshippretension.com and leave comments. We enjoy those as well. Now that you still don't want anyone to find you on the internet...
Right.
So
until next time, catch us at the Leg Warehouse.